I'll bet they didn't say that, because that would have put them in a very uncomfortable position, wouldn't it? If they would have said, well, that's just a fulfillment by Jeremy the prophet of a prophecy concerning Rachel, what would that have said about who they were looking for? I don't think they'd have said that. But what might they have said? This is to show you that the devil always has an alternate explanation for everything that's in the scriptures. Can you imagine what they might have said? What do you know about Herod? He was not a Jew, but he was something else. An Edomite. What does Edom mean? Where does that name come from? If he's an Edomite, that means he's a very small Edom, I guess. Just kidding. No, sir. What does Edom mean? Remember I tell you, get a Bible dictionary and look up the names? I'm driving home my point again. See, you thought I'd given up on that and moved on to something else, didn't you? Pardon? He did say it of Esau. What does it mean? Nope. It means red. Esau came out all red and hairy. That's why they called him Edom. So Herod is an Edomite. What does that tell you about his ancestry? He's descended from, somebody already said it, Esau. Now, there was a little stir going on between the Jews and the Dukes of Esau. What was that all about? This will help you with your understanding of what's going on over there today. Because even today, it's 2006, month of February, I think, and there's a battle going on over there. Mm-hmm. Who are they fighting with? Jerusalem's a city. Israelites. See, this battle hit was already 1,000 years old. So how in the world did an Edomite end up on the throne of Israel? It isn't written here, but it's another prophecy. Okay. That's true. Boy, the Romans have always had a penchant to back the Edomites, haven't they? I think they're still doing it today, along with most of Europe and everybody else. Shame on them. Isn't it funny how the wicked always manage to pick the wrong side? How did we know that this was going to come about? I pointed it out before, but I want to drive it home again. It's another prophecy. It goes back to a blessing, which started all this trouble. It's found in Genesis 49. It wasn't Joseph. He was one of the ones that got blessed. In fact, he got a double blessing. It was Jacob that blessed them. It's Jacob's famous last words. Let's back up another generation. Isaac. What happened to Isaac? No, we're a generation too early, brother. That's Abraham. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau. Did he actually steal it? Yeah, is this helping you to understand why Matthew is important and what the tension is between the Edomites and the Ishmaelites and the Jewish people today is? You know, if the Jewish people would read the book of Matthew, they'd start figuring out a whole lot of stuff, wouldn't they? Because it's right here. If they just say, if they look at this and say, wait a minute, we got to go back and examine the Old Testament prophets, then we'll know how to deal with these Edomites. Now, Isaac told Esau something. Remember, Esau came in all crying with the mully grubs, the dirty rat, after he despised his birthright and sold it for a bowl of vegetable soup. Jacob was too cheap to put any meat in it. Now he's going to go back to his dad and whine about the bargain that he struck. What's one of the things that Isaac says to Esau to kind of comfort him a little bit? You can't have the birthright, but I'll throw you a few crumbs. Yes, he said, you know, when you get strong, you're going to cast your brother's yoke off of your neck. Here's where it came true. A Jew would have acutely wondered about that. What is this Herod turkey doing sitting on the throne in Jerusalem? He's not a Jew. He's an Edomite. Don't you suppose they knew that? Why, sure they did. And not only that, he does what Edomites always do, which is what? Kill Jews. See, they did it before Muhammad came along. They were killing Jews a long time before Muhammad came along. That's exactly what happens here. We have an Edomite on the throne of Israel now. He sends soldiers down and kills all the children in Bethlehem, which happened to be what sort of people? Israelites. I don't think he killed any Edomite babies. He knew better than that, didn't he? Wow. And then in verse number 18, we have something that Jeremiah the prophet said. In Ramah, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. Ouch. Can you see if an Israelite would read this and read it with his wits about him? He would suddenly say, wait a minute, this story has to be true. We know. Again, what does that tell you about our race? Yep. Let us cast away our cords, his cords. Let us go our own way. Going on today. Verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, being Baptists, we want to turn the other cheek, of course. But he's dead. By the way, how did he die? Nope. It was an ignominious death recorded in the book of Acts. Boy, he really got his. And what happened? That's right, he was eaten of worms right before your eyes. You don't suppose that God finally had had enough of this guy, do you? Yeah, that's the same guy. The Edomites called him Herod the Great. I'm sure the Jews in low whispers had other names for him. But that's not our purpose. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. he shall be called a Nazarene. Well, now this is interesting. Let's talk about this for just a moment, shall we? Herod's dead. They receive the message to return. They come back into Judea, but Archelaus is reigning there. Who is Archelaus? It's right in the context here. You can see it. Herod's son. You don't suppose Joseph might have been thinking, wait a minute, like father, like son? Now, what are we going to do? Maybe we should have asked God exactly, where in Israel do you want us to go? Well, he turns back and does that. And then in verse number 23, the scripture says he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. There it is again. Which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Which is why all Baptists are intrinsically wrong. We should all be Nazarenes. I was just kidding about that too. Boy, it must be too early in the morning. What's the deal here? Don't you wonder sometimes, well, why didn't God tell him to go straight up to Jerusalem? Isn't that where he belongs? I mean, who is this young child? Pilate asks that question. What think ye of Christ? Who is he? Pardon? He's the king of the Jews? What's another name for him? Pardon? Messiah? And another name? Pardon? Okay, Christ? Another name? Pardon? Emmanuel! Yeah, that's the one I was looking for, but I liked all the others too. Thank you. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Whether you like it or not, God said he is Jehovah God. Where's God supposed to reign from? Jerusalem. Then why did he go to Nazareth? First of all, where is Nazareth? Little geography here. They didn't have GPSs in those days, so I'll take a rough approximation. Okay, it's north of Jerusalem. Galilee. What do we know about Galilee from the scriptures? Galilee. It is. The Galilean ministry. That was before the Perean ministry and the Judean ministry. What do we know about Galilee? Yes, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess Philip found out that it could. When you were sitting under the tree, I saw you. Apparently, that's the Middle Eastern equivalent of Missouri. What else do we know about Galilee? Actually, it isn't, because the Rift Valley runs north and south. But there's a big old lake up there that we read about that has a number of names. The Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Tiberias, several other names. It's pretty important in the scriptures, isn't it? We find the Lord there a lot. Well, where did they get this land? Did they take it from the Assyrians? Did Nebuchadnezzar forget about it because the maps weren't all that good in those days? And what was the history of that region of land? It's important that you understand this. Look at verse number 21, because the hint is right there. Pardon? It was given to Israel. This is part of the royal grant that was given to Abraham, wasn't it? So it came to be called Galilee, but it was really part of the land given to the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, did the 12 tribes, even at the zenith of their power, ever occupy the entire royal grant that God gave to Abraham? They never did they? They never did. Will they? They sure will. Well, how did it come to be called Galilee instead of the names of the tribes? And why is Judea called Judea? You see in verse number 22. All right, the tribe of Judah and another tribe lived in that area too. No. Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin lived in that particular area where Jerusalem was. Well, why is it Galilee then, instead of Asher and Naphtali and Gad, Manasseh, Ephraim, all of those things we read in the Old Testament? What in the world happened? Something must have happened from the time that God gave them that grant of land, and then they finally, after they got broke of their timidity and mistrust of God, did cross Jordan and go into the land and possess it. Again? Sure. When did the 10 tribes split from the 2? No. After Solomon. That's right. It was after Solomon. And what was the big brouhaha about? Rehoboam. Yes. Yes, of course. He said that his little finger was thicker than his father's loins. The foolishness of youth, huh? So Israel split from that day forth. There was a civil war, as a matter of fact. When everything shook out, there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. But by the time we come to here, there's no northern kingdom. Now it's called Galilee. Remember, originally it was called Israel in the Old Testament and Judah. And they had separate kings. Something has happened. Now it's called Galilee. Who? No, somebody came along before the Babylonians. See, these guys learned really slow. As a matter of fact, they haven't even learned yet. The Assyrians. The Assyrians came first and carried away the 10 tribes. And then what was left of them? Who got the second shot at them? Now you can say it. The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, came and took most of what was left. They still didn't get the word. Then what happened? The Medo-Persian Empire continued with what the Babylonian Empire had done, except right at the very end of the Medo-Persian Empire, something really big happened. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet. I'm bringing you through this so you can, in your mind, get the lay of the land and understand what's being talked about here. Why in the world did he go up into Galilee? That's not even part of Israel. Well, yes, it was. Well, Alexander the Great came along, but that was to overthrow the Medo-Persian Empire. What happened at the end of the Medo-Persian Empire while they were still in power? Darius Artaxerxes did something, the last great king of the Persians. He allowed a small contingent, composed of who? Pardon? The king's cupbearer. He wrote a book in the Bible. Being a Baptist, he didn't drink any of the wine. He just carried the cup around. Nehemiah and Ezra, they came back with an edict from the king of Persia that said that they could go back and redo something. Rebuild Jerusalem. And see, that's about as far as they got. All of these years have gone by. Jerusalem now has been rebuilt. But what of the northern kingdom? It was never rebuilt. Now, who moved in there? The scripture doesn't tell us this, but some would say nature abhors a vacuum. Sure, the Edomites began to move in up there. And who else? The woman at the well. Who was she? Samaritans. Where did the Samaritans come from? They were. They were a mixture of Jew and Gentile, which is why the disciples despised them. But see, there's a little problem. You had to go through Samaria. Well, you didn't really have to. Most of them would walk around it to get from Jerusalem up around the Lake of Gennesaret, which is where Nazareth is. So now we kind of have it in our mind what the lay of the land is. And if a Jew was reading this, what do you suppose he'd think? And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. What's the first thing that somebody who lived in Jerusalem is going to think when they see this? Okay. It's the closing words of verse 23. Which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Don't you suppose they'd have gone back and checked the Old Testament scrolls and said, hey, wait a minute, we know that this guy we crucified came from Nazareth. Whoa. One of his disciples even knew that. Can any good thing come out of? See? Isn't it cool how God preserved all this stuff? And it could be known if anybody wanted to take a serious look at it. That's Matthew's purpose, was to get the Jewish nation to take a look at it. Someday they will. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you that we have this wonderful book. And Lord, as we pore over it and think about it ourselves, I pray, Lord, that you'd illuminate our minds. Help us to go back to that time and put ourselves there and see it as they saw it. And then we see the wonderful inspiration of your word, how that everything that you have said always comes to pass. And Lord, we thank you. Even though we're reading something that was primarily for the Jews, we learn about your faithfulness, Lord, about your goodness and your love, and that all of your word always comes to pass. And we want to thank you for that, for it increases our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.